Hey guys, it's Cheryl from Hushist.com. As you know, Hushist is the first continuously published phone sex blog. Over the last 2 weeks, been extremely busy. And late last week, I was chatting with a friend, you know, taking a break from all the programming and coding. And he says to me, well, you know, everyone is running around, which I noticed, because of Hurricane Joaquin. And I thought, wait a minute, I thought it was in Barbados. Why are y'all, you know, running around now? When is he supposed to hit, or when will we see, you know, some of the fallout? And he said something like 48 hours. And as he was still talking, I was running down the hallway to get to the supermarket as quickly as possible. I needed to get food and water and batteries. And of course, when I said batteries, a lot of my friends' minds went into the gutters. I need batteries for flashlights, people. Flashlights. So anyway, when something like this comes to the area, of course, the first thing you're concerned about is losing power. And I know some people who live in areas that do not see tornadoes or hurricanes are wondering, why is your power constantly going out? I mean, what's going on with that? And one of the main reasons is that a lot of the power lines are not buried. I mean, there's some places in the Midwest, West, Northeast definitely, where you bury the lines. And in this area, the lines aren't buried. And why that is, and I don't know the technical term, the scientific term, is that DC is built on a swamp. So there's really not far you can bury the lines without it being a problem 5-8 years down the road. The idea is you want to bury them and not worry about them for the next 20-30 years, couple of decades. Also, D.C. is full of individuals who aren't from here. I mean, the joke is there's really not anyone who's from D.C. Not true. There are pockets where people have been here for generations before the Civil War. But the overwhelming majority of individuals who are here came from someplace else. They stay for a couple of years, maybe forever, but never really feel like they're from the D.C. metropolitan area. And whenever people first move in, they have something to say about the way things are done. There's a lot of Yankees that move here, and they always call back to their family and friends and make fun of us because it snows. When it snows, we tend to shut down the schools. And they're like, ha ha, these Southerners, they don't know anything about snow. Actually, we do. We know a lot about snow. We get more snow than Michigan. So that gives you an idea of how much it snows in the D.C. metro area. The problem is this is the South. And when the snow hits, the ground is still warm, so it becomes ice. And I don't know about the rest of you, except for ice truckers, I don't know anyone who can drive on ice. And when these Yankees come down and try to show us how to drive in snow, they find out real quick that it's not snow, that it's ice. Another thing that they comment on when they come here, and this is more towards the Joaquin situation, is they make fun of us because we tend to shut down the schools when it rains. This is something that really confuses them because they're thinking it rains and these people are shutting down the schools. This is crazy cuckoo bananas. And again, maybe because I'm a military brat and I've lived all over the world and back again, the one thing I found is when you move to another area and you don't quite understand what's going on, it's up to you to figure out why they do it, because it's not a question of the natives are really stupid and they don't know how things work. It's the natives are native to the area and they know how the area works. The reason the schools are shut down is, again, D.C. is on a swamp. So the entire area, no matter how you build it up, is prone to flash flooding. So if you've never lived in an area that has flash flooding, this is how it works. Let's say you're driving down the street, and within seconds, that entire area is flooded. And I'm not talking, although it can happen, 6 inches of water, which is dangerous if you're trying to navigate a car. I'm not talking a foot of water. Sometimes it's over my head and I'm 5'4". And the flood water will stay there for sometimes for a few minutes and then just as quickly it's gone. So obviously when it rains and we know the area is prone to flash flooding, we're not going to send out the area's kids on school buses. And that's why you'll find that the school systems will shut down the schools because there's a lot of flash flood. And as you can imagine, as a taxpayer and a member of the community, when you do have flash flood situations, when the Potomac does overflow, the water damage, again, going back to why we don't bury the lines, it doesn't make sense. You have to have the lines overhead. So when there's a tornado, when there's a hurricane, you're going to see huge pockets of the D.C. metro area out of power because Pepco and Dominion and all the other places have to, you know, reestablish those lines. So that's something that you need to take into consideration. One other thing that I think the firefighters in South Carolina learned, I'm sure they knew, but they learned firsthand, is when you're in a flash flood situation, it's not a question of can you swim. You know, I used to be a lifeguard, high school, college, etc. Flash flooding, the issue isn't the water, it's the debris in the water. So you're going to get hit and nicked, and the worst thing that can happen is if you're hit in the head. That's something to consider. It's kind of like people who've never been in a tornado saying, well, it's just really strong wind. Yeah, with cows and wicked witches, strong wind, you can easily get hit in the head and knocked out, and then, you know, Bob's your uncle. The one suggestion that I would make, and I think people who've lived their whole lives in Tornado Alley, within hurricanes, will tell you, is it's so important to keep an emergency pack. You should keep a pack, and that includes waterproof, fireproof vessel, of all of your important paperwork, like your passports, birth certificates, you know, all your government documents. And you should keep a pack of emergency supplies. Now, I realize that some people, this is a difficult thing to do. It's hard enough just getting by. But you can do it just a little bit at a time. If there's a sale on batteries, buy a couple of them. Stock them away. You want to get powdered milk, honey, which never goes bad. Have some rice. Especially if you have vulnerable people, children, the elderly, your pets, anybody who may be sick, you want to keep an extra backup of medications. And I think the people who should really swoop in here are the charity organizations, help individuals create that emergency pack. Remember, after 9/11, I forget what it's called, is it ready.gov, stated that to be vigilant, we need to have emergency supplies, at least 2 weeks of everything, including water, for every person in the house. And it's not something that you have to run out and do right now, but you can do over time so that when something does hit, you know that you have an emergency backup. So that's my 2 cents on that. For those of you who are still out of power and you're going to get power, know that we were thinking of you. And for those of you who have power, poke around, see which one of your neighbors are out and try to help where you can. You can start with the Red Cross, local, of course, never national. You can start with your churches who seriously need to be taxed if you're going to get in my politics. Or just your community, Boys and Girls Club, places like that. Okay, now it's time for me to get back to business.